Worshipers, Merry Christmas. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. So glad that you're joining us online as well. You know, the Christmas season really is a miraculous time of year, isn't it? And there are specific reasons why Christmas is so miraculous. You know, it's amazing that over the last several weeks, everything in our world has been focused really on this single event coming up that we call Christmas. And when Christmas actually comes tomorrow, all around the world, offices shut down, businesses shut down, people are generally nicer tomorrow. Not everybody, but most people are generally nicer. I mean, why is it that Christmas is so special? Why does everything else in the world sort of become secondary when Christmas rolls around? Well, you know why? It's because Christmas is the celebration of an invasion. See, Christmas is when God invaded the earth. You know, the Bible says that about 2,000 years ago, God actually invaded earth. Now, if you were alive back in 1969, it was a pretty big deal when man walked on the moon, Neil Armstrong, right? But it was a much bigger deal when God walked on the earth. And that leads us into the first Christmas miracle, which is God came to earth. God came to earth. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, Brian, what are you talking about God? You know, I thought you were talking about Jesus. You know, I thought Christmas was Jesus' birthday. Well, it is. But the Bible says that Jesus is God. In fact, Jesus said that about himself. He claimed to be God. And Jesus proved he was God by dying on a cross and then being resurrected from the dead 3 days later. And all kinds of people saw him after he was resurrected from the dead. Even some of the people who crucified him saw him. And the Bible also says that Jesus Christ created the entire world. Therefore, Jesus' life did not begin in a stable. No, Jesus has always been. He's always been. In fact, look at the way the Apostle Paul says it in Colossians 1. He says, "For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." See, what we're celebrating is not the beginning of Jesus Christ. No, what we're celebrating is the day that Jesus Christ came to earth. And so the first Christmas miracle is that God himself came to earth. And that was the most significant event that has ever happened in the history of the world. And that's why we all celebrate it. In fact, our entire calendar is split in two because of this event. All of history is split into BC and AD by this one event. Jesus Christ, who was God, is the reference point for every date in history because it was that important. Every time you take out your phone and you see the date, every time you write down the date, who are you using as a reference point? You're using Jesus Christ as a reference point. That is how important it is. It was God who came to earth. The second Christmas miracle is that God became a man. God became like one of us. He became a human being. Look at Paul says in Philippians 2, he says, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, Jesus gave up his divine privileges, meaning his privileges as God, he gave those up and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So think about this miracle. Of all the ways that God could have chosen to communicate to us that he was God, he chose to become one of us. I mean, think about all the different ways that God could have communicated to us that he was God. He could have written it in the sky. He could have used thunder and lightning. He could have put on a giant light show for all of us to see and, you know, telling us that he was God. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. I mean, let me ask you, if you were God, would you have come to earth as a baby? I mean, of all the ways that God could have come into this world, he chose to come the same way that you and I come into this world, as a baby. And why did God do that? Why did God come to earth as a baby? Because God the Father said, I'm sending Jesus Christ to save you, not to scare you. See, lots of people are afraid of God. They don't even like to talk about God. They get nervous when you start to talk about God. And so if God would have come in thunder and lightning, he would have scared a lot of people. But he came as a baby. Why? Because nobody's afraid of a baby. And the Bible says that God wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. God already knows everything about you. God has watched every single moment of your life. In fact, God even knew that you were going to be here this morning, thousands of years before you were ever born. And God also knows everything that's going to happen to you in the future. He knows all about you. But God wants you to know him. So, God had a communication problem. Therefore, he had to come in a way that we could understand. See, if God would have wanted to communicate with birds, God would have come to earth as a bird. If God would have wanted to communicate with frogs, God would have come to earth as a frog. If God wanted to communicate with donkeys, God would have come to earth as a donkey. But God wanted to communicate with you and with me. And so he came to earth as one of us. And the Bible says that when Jesus Christ came to earth, he was just like us. He was born like us. He grew up like we grow up, you know, physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. Jesus was tempted just like we're tempted. Jesus had the same needs, the same drives, the same desires, the same problems, the same pressures in life that we have. And the reason he went through all those things is so that we would know he can relate to us. He can relate. And the truth is, no matter what you're going through today, God understands because he's been there. He came and he lived a human life. God became a man. And then the third Christmas miracle is that God came to ordinary people. Aren't you glad? God came to ordinary people. See, when Jesus was born, he didn't come to just a select few. He didn't just come to the privileged class. He didn't even come for religious people. Jesus came for all of us. See, the Bible says that when Jesus was born, he wasn't born in a palace, although he was God of the universe. Jesus wasn't born in a nice hotel. Jesus wasn't born in a hospital. Jesus was born in a barn. And today, we sort of sentimentalize the nativity scene, don't we? We talk about how Jesus was born in a manger. Oh, how cute is that? But do you know what a manger really is? A manger is a feed box for animals. They put wheat and oats and all kinds of stuff in there. The animals stick their nose in it, saliva would come out. I mean, a manger is a very dirty place to leave a newborn baby. And yet that's where God was born. When God came to earth, he came in the stuff of life with the stench of animals. I mean, you can't get any lower than being born in a barn, right? And then the first people who got to visit Jesus, they weren't religious leaders. They weren't royalty. They weren't political leaders. No, the very first people who were invited to see Jesus were the shepherds. And again, today we make the shepherds out to be heroes in this story. But in those days, shepherds weren't the heroes. They were the zeros. They were the nobodies. They were losers. Shepherds were considered outcasts of society because they did a job that nobody else wanted to do. It was a very stinky job. And that is who Jesus invited first to come to his birth. And then later on, of course, wise men from the east would come. And they would be bringing Jesus gifts, and they were rich. And so from the lowest in society to the highest in society, they were invited. And that means that Jesus is available to all of us. And he wants to have a relationship with every single one of us. Now, you may be thinking, well, Brian, you don't know all the stuff that I've done, man. Out of all the things that I've done, there's no way I could ever have a relationship with God. Well, I understand that kind of thinking. I used to think that way myself. But if you're thinking that way, I want you to know, you're wrong. Or you might think, well, Brian, God doesn't care about me. I mean, I'm a nobody. Nobody really cares about me. God certainly doesn't have time for somebody like me. That's exactly what I thought at one time as well. And if you're thinking that right now, I want you to know you're wrong. Because God says, I love you. I know all about you, and I still love you, and I want you, God says, to know me. See, Jesus came to us because we couldn't reach up to God. See, God is perfect. And there's no way any of us are good enough to be able to reach up all the way and reach a perfect God. So that means I could never get to know God on my own. And so God came down to our level. And that's a miracle. That God would stoop so low that he would be born as a baby in a barn in order to be accessible to everybody. God came for ordinary people. And then the fourth Christmas miracle is that God came for our benefit. He came for our benefit. He came for you. He came for me. I want to show you some verses where Jesus explains why he came to earth. Jesus says in John 18, "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." Underline the word truth. And then in John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief," that's the devil, "he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came," Jesus says, "to give you life, and that you would have it abundantly." Underline the word life. And then in John 12, he says, "I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world." Underline the word save. So Jesus came to bring truth, life, and salvation. Truth, life, and salvation. You know what those are? Those are God's Christmas gifts to you and to me. Now, why did Jesus come to bring truth? Well, because if you and I don't build our life on truth, if we build our life on faulty information, then we end up going through life making all kinds of bad decisions. If you don't build your life on truth, you end up having unnecessary stress and unneeded problems that God never meant for you to have in your life. You say, well, Brian, what is truth? Well, part of what truth is that you matter to God. In fact, you matter to God so much that God left his home in heaven and he came to earth in the form of a baby. And he grew up and he lived a perfect sinless life. And then he died on a cross for all of our sins, all the wrong things we've ever done, all the wrong thoughts we've ever thought, all the wrong words we've ever said. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. And then 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. And now he says to you and he says to me, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be in my family. I want you to live with me in eternity forever. See, that is how much you matter to God. Jesus came to bring us truth, and Jesus came to bring us life. And Jesus also came to bring us salvation. He came to save us from the penalty of our sins. You know, there's a Christmas card that you may have seen. It goes like this. If our greatest need had been information, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, then God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. See, God's Christmas gift to you and to me is that he sent us a Savior. But you know, in order to enjoy a gift from anyone, we have to receive that gift. And we have to open that gift, don't we? And I know people who celebrate Christmas every year, and yet they've never personally received and unwrapped God's Christmas gift to them. That seems weird to me. God says to every one of us, I'm offering you life. I'm offering you the forgiveness of all of your sins that you've ever committed. I'm offering you the kind of future where you'll have real life. I'm offering you an eternity where you're going to be with me in heaven and the new creation. And all you have to do, God says, in order to receive this, is to surrender your life fully to me and become one of my followers. See, even though all of that is true, so many people never personally receive and open God's Christmas gift of salvation to them. How about you? Have you ever personally received that? I'm not talking about the fact that maybe, you know, your parents go to church regularly or, you know, an uncle is a pastor or whatever. This is a personal decision. And I don't understand why people, you know, put up Christmas trees and sing Christmas carols and do all the stuff of Christmas, and yet they never have accepted God's Christmas gift of salvation to them. I mean, can you imagine if you gave me a Christmas gift, which, by the way, would be a wonderful thing for you to do, but I'm just teasing. But if you gave me a Christmas gift and I took it home, put it under my tree, and then like a year from now, you come over to my house and you're all of a sudden reminded of it. And you're like, oh yeah, hey Brian, how'd you like the Christmas gift I got you last year? And what if I said, well, I'm sure it's a great gift, I just haven't got around to opening it yet. I mean, how weird would that be, right? And yet, that's what millions and millions of people do. They never open up God's Christmas gift to them. So don't wait any longer. If you've never personally opened up God's Christmas gift of Jesus, God's Christmas gift of salvation in your life, let this be the year that you do that. Let this be the year. Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, how would I do that? I mean, how would I personally receive God's Christmas gift of salvation into my life? Well, the Bible tells us The Bible tells us how. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now there are two parts to this verse. There's a believing part, and then there's a receiving part. And I think probably, most of you that are either online or here in person, you're already at the believing stage. You know, most of you probably believe that there's at least something to this thing of Christmas. So you've already done that, but maybe you didn't understand that there's also a receiving part of this. And the receiving part of this means that you have to surrender your life fully to Jesus. Ask him to come into your life, forgive you personally of all of your wrong thoughts, all of your wrong deeds, all of your wrong words. Receive his forgiveness, receive his life, and then make a commitment to him that you're going to begin to follow him and his ways for the rest of your life. That's what it takes to receive that gift personally. And if you've never done that before, or maybe you're not sure if you've ever done that before, but you want to, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Would you bow your head in prayer with me for a moment? Maybe this is new to you. You're not really used to church and used to praying and all that. That's okay. You might just want to close your eyes. That blocks out distractions. There's nothing magic about closing your eyes, but this is a holy moment. And I don't want you to be distracted, because God is here and he's calling people to himself. And you might be thinking, well, Brian, I don't know how to begin this relationship with God. I don't know how to surrender my life to Jesus like you're talking about. I don't know how to receive his forgiveness like you're talking about. Well, the way that it begins with everybody is simply through a prayer of surrender. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of surrender. And if you want to pray this after me, you can actually open up your life to Jesus today. You can begin this journey with Jesus today. And there's nothing magic about the words of this prayer that I'm going to say. What's magic is that it has to come from your heart. You have to really mean this. Don't pray this prayer unless you really mean it. And you don't have to pray the prayer out loud. God can read your thoughts. But like I said, you do need to really, really mean it. So you just say something to God like this: God, I know I've done wrong things in my life. I know that I've sinned. And God, I realize that I need forgiveness. And I thank you that you sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to be born as a baby and to grow up and live a perfect sinless life and then die on a cross for my sins. I believe that. And so Jesus, to the best that I understand, I'm asking you personally, would you come into my life? Would you come inside of my body? And would you forgive me of all the wrong things that I've ever done? Would you wipe the slate of my heart clean? Would you give me a new start? And Jesus, I want to make a commitment right now that I want to begin to follow you and your way of life from now on. I want to become your follower. You know, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, you may have felt something inside of you, you may not have. Doesn't matter. Certain people are wired differently than others. Some people are feelers, other people are not. So it doesn't matter if you felt something physically or not. If you prayed that and you really meant it, it happened. Supernaturally, the Spirit of Jesus came inside of you. And he forgave you of all the things in the past that you've ever done. And he's giving you a new start. And now he wants you to begin to follow him. And see, that's where the vineyard comes in. Because people begin to follow Jesus, and even as we follow Jesus, we don't really know how to do it that well. And so at the vineyard, we teach you every weekend how to follow Jesus better in all kinds of areas of your life. And so that's why church is really important for followers of Jesus. It's not just an afterthought. And so if you prayed that prayer, now all of a sudden church becomes much more important than probably it's ever been in your life. But the other thing Jesus does when people begin to follow him is he makes us go public about this new relationship that we're starting with him. Now, I know as Americans, we don't like to go public. We like to have our religion to ourselves. You know, people say, well, my religion is between me and God, or my relationship with God is just between me and him. Well, Jesus doesn't allow us to do that. Jesus says in Matthew 10, everyone who confesses me in front of other people, I will confess them in front of my Father who is in heaven. But those who deny me in front of other people, I will deny them before my Father is in heaven. So Jesus makes us go public. And that's part of what water baptism is. When people begin to follow Jesus, they get water baptized. That's a symbolic act. That's a public commitment telling people, I'm now a follower of Jesus. They go under the water. That's a symbol their old life is now dead and gone. They come up out of the water. That's a symbol that they have a new life, and this new life is now following Jesus. But I've been doing this as a pastor for a long time, and I've found that if people really pray this prayer that many of you just prayed, and you go ahead and leave, and you never went public, oftentimes it doesn't really take. Because what happens is, the Bible says that when you leave here, the enemy, the devil, comes and he steals what the Bible calls the seed of God's word out of your heart. It's very easy for him to do. And oftentimes, it's almost impossible for you to come back to Jesus because he's stolen that seed. And so what I've found is that when people go public right away after they've made this decision, they much more easily begin to follow Jesus than if they don't go public. And so I give people an opportunity right away to go public. And so if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave, really courageous. In a moment, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down here to the front because I want to pray a special prayer for you. Now, I know if you prayed that prayer for the first time, and now I'm saying in a moment I want you to come down to the front, you're probably freaking out. So, let me try to ease some of your fears for a moment. One of the things you might be thinking is, well, what if I'm the only one? Well, you won't be, okay? You won't be. But even if you are, remember I said, there's nothing magic about these words that you're going to pray, but you have to really mean it. Well, if you really meant it, are you already 5 minutes later ready to tell people, I don't want to tell other people that I did this. Are you already embarrassed to say that you're following Jesus now? If you're already embarrassed, that's not a good place to begin your relationship with him. So even if you're the only one, you need to be brave enough and courageous enough to let everybody in this room know. But you probably won't be the only one. And then the other thing I want to tell you is, in a moment when I ask people to stand up and come to the front that prayed that prayer, the vast majority of us who don't come to the front, the reason we don't is because we've already done something like this. We've already received Jesus. We're already his followers, and we love it when God adds new people to his family. So we're on your side. So if you prayed that prayer and you're courageous enough, you're brave enough to go public right now, what I want you to do is get up right now, and I want you to walk down here to the front. God bless you guys. Come on. Come on, right now. Get up. Pop to your feet right now. Right now. Today is the day that I want public. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. All over the room. Come on. Pop to your feet. Pop to your feet right now. If you're up in the balcony, pop to your feet. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I made a decision today that I'm going public with Jesus. I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm going to follow Jesus. I made that decision. God bless you guys. God bless you. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. If you're up in the top up there, come on. Come on. Come on. Pop to your feet. Pop to your feet. You prayed this prayer. You prayed this prayer. I'm going to follow Jesus. This is the day, December 24th, 2023. This is the day that I'm going public in my profession of following Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is the day. Come on. I know there's others of you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer, if you prayed that prayer, pop to your feet. Pop to your feet. Now, if you're here with someone, maybe you prayed that prayer. There's some of you might be here. You prayed that prayer, and you're an introvert. You're like me. You're an introvert. I know you don't think I'm an introvert, but I really am an introvert. And you're like, man, I want to go to the front. I prayed that prayer, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid. If you're here with a friend or a loved one, and they're sitting next to you right now, would you just grab their hand? Just by grabbing their hand, that will tell them, hey, I want to go to the front. I prayed that prayer. Would you come with me for moral support? If that's you right now, grab their hand and both of you stand up and walk to the front right now. Grab their hand right now. Walk to the front if you prayed that prayer. They'll come with you. God bless you. They'll come with you. They'll come with you. They'll be your moral support. They will. So come on. I see some people still coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you. Grab their hand. Grab their hand. Grab their hand. Pop to your feet right now. Pop to your feet. Now, as people are still coming, you can still come. You can still come. But I want to say a couple of things to you guys up here. First of all, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you for being brave, being courageous, and saying, I want to follow Jesus. This is the single most important decision that you will ever make in your life. You know why? Two reasons. First of all, because this is going to change the way you live. Because as you begin to follow Jesus, you will learn his way of life. And I want you to know from experience, his way of life is the best way of life. It really is. He's the smartest person who's ever lived. He knows how life needs to be lived. And you will begin to learn the Jesus way of life. And your life will be lived in different ways. That means your parenting, if you're a parent, will begin to change. That means your marriage, if you're married, will begin to change. That means the way you go to work, it will change. Jesus will begin to change everything about your life. That's one of the reasons why it's so important you made this decision. The second reason, though, is that now your eternity has changed as well. You know, the Bible says that when you really meant that in your heart, that you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And now you're going to spend your eternity with Jesus in the new creation. That's why this is so, so important. So we are extremely, extremely proud of each and every one of you. Now I'm going to say a prayer. Let's have some of our ministry team members, small group leaders. We need a bunch of you to come up to the front. I'm going to say a prayer in just a moment. And then when I'm done with that prayer, we're going to have some of our leaders, small group leaders, ministry team members. We need a lot of you. If you're a ministry team member or you're a small group leader, we need a lot of you. I know it's Christmas Eve. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. Come on. Come on. Come on. And what we want to do is after I pray, they may pray for you if they have something they feel like God wants them to pray. They may give you a prophetic word from God that they believe is for you. They may do things like that. They may not. I don't know. I don't know what God's speaking to them. But then when they're done, they will get information from you because we want to send some information to you about following Jesus. So make sure you do not leave until we get that information. Now, the other thing I want you to know is in January, we're going to have a baptism. And you need to be water baptized in January. That's one of the ways you go public with your faith in Jesus. And when you're baptized, before that weekend, I want you to invite everybody you know to come and watch your water baptism. Because there are people in your life that would never go to church But they would go because you invited them to watch you be water baptized. And then when they come to church, you never know what God might do in their life. God will begin to use you to reach other people. So make sure you invite everybody you go to school with, everybody you work with, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, all that, because you never know what God will do. Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and then they're going to get some information from you, okay? Would you guys that are seated agree with me in prayer for our friends up here? Lord, we are so grateful for each and every one, each young person, each older person. God, each one has a story, and we're so grateful for it, God. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would fill each and every person who's received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May they experience more of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd begin to empower each and every one of them, God, and you'd begin to use them for your glory and your kingdom. Even right now, God, you would begin to use them. And I pray, Lord, as they begin to follow you on this narrow path, I pray that you'd go in front of them, Lord, and spring every trap that the enemy wants to set in order to knock them off this narrow path. God, bring the right people around them that would help them in their faith, that would help disciple them. I pray that you'd lead them to the right small group, Lord, that would help disciple them. And we're so, so grateful. Let this day be etched in their minds and in their hearts as the day they went public about their faith in Jesus. Let that be etched in their hearts and minds for all of eternity. Bless each one in their bodies, their souls, and their spirits. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you guys that are here, make sure you get all the information. I'm super proud of you. Now, for the rest of us, would you please stand? I'm going to pray a blessing over us before we go. And then on your way out, here's your assignment. You have to say Merry Christmas to at least 10 people or you turn into a frog. Okay? I think. All right, let me bless you. Lord, thank you for each and every one. As they go today, Lord, I pray that you would bless each one of them. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to each one, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you guys.